and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we give you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we continue our series of comedy shows featuring performers who made the leap from vaudeville to radio with more Fibber McGee and Molly. This week, Molly wins a designer dress for Easter in a contest. Enjoy the effervescent humor of Fibber and Molly McGee in Easter Dress Creation, first broadcast March 23rd, 1948 on NBC.
The Johnson Dwight program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Fibber and Molly join us in just a moment. The easiest and best way to make a waxed floor look its shining best is to buff it with an electric polisher. And if you don't have one, here's good news. Once again, the famous Johnson's electric polisher is available in nearly every neighborhood. You can rent one at a surprisingly low cost. The Johnson's electric polisher takes all the work out of buffing. You merely flick a switch and guide it across the floor. You'll be surprised at how quickly you can polish every floor in your home. Polish them to such a hard, gleaming luster that just an occasional light dusting will keep them bright and clean. You know, of course, that there's no finer wax for your floors than genuine Johnson's paste wax. Now try the easiest and best way to buff Johnson's paste wax to a protective, mellow beauty. Rent a Johnson's electric polisher from a dealer in your neighborhood. Or if you prefer to own one, the price is $44.50. Use it with genuine Johnson's paste wax. They're a perfect team for bringing out the beauty of your floors.
Look on the bright side, shine up the right side, bring out the beauty of the home.
Wistful Vista's annual contest on I Like to Patronize My Neighborhood Merchants Because is over. And guess who knocked out a prize-winning letter? The notification has just arrived in the morning mail, and... Nope, it wasn't him. It was her, of Fibber McGee and Molly.
McGee, I won. Isn't that exciting? I won a prize. Imagine, the first contest I ever won, dearie.
Well, gee, that's wonderful, kiddo. Congratulations.
Sure.
We'll sell the electric refrigerator because we already got one.
What?
We'll keep the car and sell our old one. You keep the mink coat and I'll learn to fly the airplane. We can take the trip to Honolulu while they paint the house and refurnish the living room. Then we'll make
a... McGee, wait a minute.
Huh?
I didn't win all that stuff. I just won a new...
What do you mean, all that stuff? Why, that's hardly anything in a contest these days. And if that Ralph Edwards thinks he's going to renege on all them promises, by
George... This was not truth or consequences.
Huh?
This was the annual Wistful Vista I Like to Patronize My Neighborhood Merchant Because in 25 words or less.
Oh. Oh, that. What's the first prize in that vacant lottery? Trip by motor scooter through the fish hatchery?
I should say not. Listen to my award. It says, this letter entitles you, as winner of the first prize in the women's division, to an original Easter creation by Henri, Wistful Vista's leading couturier. Isn't that marvelous?
Who's Henri and what does he mean, an original Easter creation? What's he going to do, lay a purple egg?
For your information, sweetheart, the word couturier means fashion designer.
Huh? Oh.
It's from the French words couture, meaning dressmaker,
uh-huh,
and rie, meaning we'll sew some sequins on it for another $700.
Oh, that, Henri.
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
Oh, yeah.
A special Easter dress created just for me by Henri himself. I think I'll tell him I... Come in. Oh, it's Mr. Williams, the weatherman, McGee. Hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hi, Foggy, old man. What's the weather forecast? Light flurries of sunshine, followed by Wednesday and Thursday, and unsettled bills on the first of the month.
McGee, I'm afraid you take the science of meteorology rather lightly.
He does, Mr. Williams. He says he can look at an almanac and tell what the weather is going to be better than depending on you people.
And I can, too. I'm part Indian, you know.
Really? What part?
The part that sits around the fire.
other prophets, Mr. Williams?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed they are.
Yeah, yes.
Some Indian tribes have uncanny powers of weather forecasting.
Yeah?
I spent 3 years with the Camelback Indians of western Arizona, and I'm still mystified.
Yeah?
Every year when they performed their rain dance, it rained within 24 hours.
Oh, well, that's easy explained. They just waited for a rainy day and then held the dance the day before.
Oh, I don't know, McGee. Some things aren't so easily explained.
Yeah?
Now, I'm not superstitious, but I went to a St. Valentine's dance once, and the next day I got 12 Valentines. Did the Indians make you a member of the tribe, Mr. Williams?
After I'd studied very hard and learned all their dances, Mrs. McGee, then they adopted me and gave me the name Manahu Dindin Malakil Ben Alamata Natatatatata Fla.
Meaning what?
Clumsy.
Show us how they did the rain dance, Mr. Williams, will you?
Well, I'd be glad to, Mrs. McGee, but I can't dance it without a tom-tom.
Oh, that's easy fixed. Here, I'll drum on the radio cabinet. All set?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Hey-yee! Hoo-hoo!
Hoo! Oh, that's the rain dance.
Hey-yee!
Gosh, listen to that. Rain.
I'm sorry. I'm a little out of practice, and I guess I overdid it a trifle. I'd better get home and phone the Bureau what happened. I'm afraid I might have exceeded my authority. Good day.
Wasn't that the most amazing thing you ever saw, McGee? He did the rain dance and it rained.
Oh, I don't know. My cousin Louie learned a foxtrot one night, and on the way home he got bit by a fox. So he said, hey, if we're going to get down to this dressmaker's, we better snap into it, kiddo.
We? Are you going with me?
Why, certainly. You think I'm going to have some monkey try to palm off a boulder burlap on my wife that just won first prize in the women's division? Come on, get your hat.
Well, I'm so glad you're coming with me because you have such good taste in other people's clothes.
Yeah.
I'll be right with you, dear.
Okay, Tootsie. There goes a good kid. Imagine her slinking around town in a real Paris creation. I'll bet she'll be... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, Teeny. I can't talk to you now. I and Mrs. McGee are going shopping.
Okay, mister. Boy, did you hear the crowd burst, mister? Did you,
Hear it? I played the accompaniment for it.
Well, it sure was a...
Skip it.
Okay. My daddy said it was raining cats and dogs for a few minutes,
yeah.
But I ran right outdoors, but I couldn't see any. Looked to me just like ordinary rain.
It did, eh?
Boy,
I says it did, eh?
Did what?
Looked just like ordinary rain.
Whom to?
To whom?
When?
When it started to rain so hard a few minutes ago and you went out...
I know it. Gee, I hope it clears up for Easter, mister.
Huh?
I said I hope it clears up for Easter, mister.
Oh.
Hmm?
I said, oh. You got big plans for Easter, sister?
Oh, I sure have, I betcha. First thing in the morning, I'm going to feed Susie some carrots and lettuce.
Who?
Susie.
Oh, your pet rabbit, eh?
No, Susie's my little sister.
Huh?
She hates vegetables.
Oh, I see.
Then after Sunday school, I'm going to take my paint box and creep into my daddy's bedroom and paint him all red and green and orange and purple and everything. I hope I can do it without waking him up, I betcha.
Well, that seems like kind of a messy trick to play on your father on Easter Sunday, sis. What's the idea?
Well, mister, I just got thinking it over. He's awful good to me.
Well, yeah, but that's all the more reason why...
I just thought to myself, Teeny, I thought...
Uh-huh.
Why don't you paint your daddy some pretty colors so he looked nice for Easter?
Oh.
He's been such a good egg. Oh, it's stop raining now, mister. So long.
So long.
Billy Mills and the Orchestra and Saturday Date. Thank you.
McGee, here's Henri. My goodness, I'm so anxious to get in there.
Yeah, hey, he can't be doing much business. He's only got one dress in the window. Down at the Bon Ton, they got 50 of them. I don't see why. Oh, hi there, old-timer.
Hello there, kids. Hey, what you doing downtown?
Well, I'm getting a new dress for Easter, Mr. Oldtimer.
Yeah.
I suppose you'll be out Sunday morning to join the Easter parade?
No, I sure will, daughter. I love parades. Steam calliopes, tootling fellas with red coats and boat hooks and elephants. Sure brings back memories.
Yeah.
Used to be with a circus, you know, till my feet got burned to bad.
Well, how did your feet get burned so bad?
Well, he used to shoot me out of a cannon, and one day they used too much gunpowder.
You mean they fired you and then you quit?
Son, it was no joking matter.
No?
I had a feeling something was wrong that sultry afternoon in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in July 1889. I crawled down into the cannon while the crowds cheered. Then I hear the fellow pouring in the gunpowder, the scratch of a match, and boom.
Yeah?
Next thing I knew, I was 8,000 feet over Cleveland, Ohio, headed north-northeast, with my shoes burned off and three friends back in my dressing room waiting to play pinochle.
Well, the whole game.
Be that as it may, and speaking of parades as I was, I used to carry the front of the bass drum, too.
Yeah?
But I had to give that up, too hard on my ears.
Oh, yes, they're pretty noisy, all right.
Oh, the noise didn't bother me, but the fellow that walked behind and played the drum had such long arms he liked to beat my ears off.
You should have stood in bed and pounded your own ear.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, says, seen my wife lately? She's had her face lifted. Is that so, says t'other feller. Now, who'd ever steal a thing like that?
And order my Easter creation, dearie. I'm so impatient. I wonder what Henri will want to make for me. Come on.
Wow. What a shop. Some stuff. Wow. Is this an extra thick carpet or is this joint built on quicksand? I'm in it up to my ankles, Molly. I can't...
McGee.
Huh?
Look.
Huh?
Mrs. McDonald and those other women over there.
Huh?
What are they staring at me for? Is my slip showing or something?
No, and even if it was and you were wearing army boots, you'd still look better than any of them biddies. Look at them whispering. Talk about cats. I'm glad I ain't carrying a can of salmon. I bet you by George they're...
Oh, bonjour, huh? Madame and Monsieur. You are perhaps wishing an appointment with the great Henri, no?
Look, sis. It's been 30 years since I was in France and my parlay francais has lost some of its boo. Let's keep this in broken English, shall we?
Ah, oh, monsieur is pleased to make a joke. Ah, oh, your husband, madame, il est très joli.
Oh, you ought to see him at a party with mayonnaise in his hair. Trying to flip a spoon into a water glass. Well, miss, I'd like to see Henri, please. Tell him Mr. and Mrs. Fibber McGee want to see him.
Yeah, my wife won the contest, sis. Henri's going to whip her up something for Easter.
Oh, Madame McGee.
Yes.
Oh, mais oui, madame. Yeah. Henri didn't expect you. He is at the moment in conference, but I will tell him that you are here.
Oh, well, I'm sorry you didn't like the idea, Henri. I thought it was a pretty clever stunt myself.
McGee, look, it's Mr. Wilcox. Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Who? Oh, hi, Junior.
Well, what are you two doing down here?
I brought Molly down to have a dress designed for Easter, Junior. What's your excuse?
Oh, I had a great idea for Henri, pal, but he can't see it.
Oh.
He's supposed to pride himself on being original.
Well, maybe he likes to think them up himself, Mr. Wilcox. Say, you don't mean you're designing dresses for him.
No, I just had an idea for a material, Molly. One of those prints that are so popular for spring. I think it'd be wonderful for hostess gowns particularly. And I'd call it the hospitality print.
Oh, that sounds good, Junior. Weave us a yard or two.
Well, it'll be a series of tiny scenes, you see.
Uh-huh.
First, a print of a housewife looking dejected, sort of downcast, with a section of dingy-looking linoleum at her feet. Then a picture of a can of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat and the words, no rubbing, no buffing. Then along the side of the gown would be the same housewife smiling. And the same linoleum, but with a high, glistening glow-coat shine on it.
Oh.
The sort of beautiful new look that only Johnson's self-polishing glow-coat can give your linoleum so easily. It'd be swell on a glazed chintz.
But Mr. Wilcox...
I figure he could line the gown in a contrasting color, you see, with a design of cans of glow-coat rampant on a field of gleaming faces.
Oh.
Indicating the happiness that glow-coat brings and the warm hospitality which would give the print its name.
Yeah,
but... along the hem, he could embroider Harlow Wilcox, representative.
Oh.
And maybe my phone number.
Oh.
Nothing vulgar, you understand. Just a small hand-work signature.
Hey. Look, Waxy.
Yes, pal.
Do me a favor, will you?
I'd like to, pal, but I've got to go.
That's it.
Oh, so long, Molly.
Well, I wonder when we'll see Henri, McGee. My goodness, I haven't been so nervous since graduation.
Nervous?
You know, the women in this town are just scared to death of him.
Ah, pata, no frilly little minuet dancing ruffle duster's going to scare us, kiddo. What's to be scared about?
Well, they say he's terribly temperamental. If he doesn't like a customer...
Monsieur Henri, we'll see you now, madame. Please, to step this way.
Oh, yeah.
Announcing Monsieur and Madame McGee.
Oui.
Entrez, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
Well, heavenly days. So you're Henri.
You know this guy, Molly?
Well, I should.
Huh?
Remember the night we went to the Western movie and the man next to me spilled his popcorn all over us? Well, this is him.
And you're Ms. McGee. Well, it sure is a small world, ain't it? Well, howdy, McGee. Sit down. Say, it's a nice-looking suit you got on there.
You like this suit, Henri? January clear sale at the Bonton, $35 with two vests. I wear out a lot of vests because I'm an elk and my elk's tooth swings back and forth like a pendulum. I like the six buttons on the cuff, Henri.
Hey, that's real tricky. I sure like the way that coat drapes, too.
Well, I'm kind of fussy about how my coats hang around the chest, Hank. Not a bad-looking pair of pants you got on there, too, either. Them reverse pleats?
Yep, I always wear reverse pleats.
Mm-hmm.
Get thick in the waist around my age and the pleats kind of soften up the outline.
Mm-hmm.
You wear a belt or galluses?
Suspenders.
Oh. Me, too. The pants hang better.
I thought...
I like that button-down shirt collar you got on there, too, Hank. That's nice.
Well, thanks. It's mighty comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Ms. McGee. Here's a magazine you can read while we talk.
What? Well, I don't want to read a magazine. I came down here to get a dress designed, remember?
Oh, my gosh. She did it, that, Henri.
Oh, sure. Well, now then, Ms. McGee, I'm going to design you something real pretty. Eloise! Get me a bowl of that Bengaline and whatever else is laying around out there, except Mrs. McDonald, and drag that dress for me in here. And hang up my beret, will you?
Oui, Henri. Bengaline and whatever else...
Well, now, let me see, folks. Take a look at these patterns. Here's one I done for Mrs. McDonald. She's a president of the bank's wife, and she was real tickled with it.
Liked it, did she?
No, she hated it.
Huh?
Tickled her so much, she kept laughing in church. Kind of fuzzy material.
Hank, I think you and I are going to get along. Now, here's my idea for a dress for my wife. Now, suppose we take a few yards of décolleté, sweep it up the shoulder in a sort of a percale bodice with a lined gusset to offset the dirndl.
Now, McGee, I don't
Well,
think...
now, McGee, I sure would consider that idea a long time before I threw it out. Mabel, my pincushion. Okay, Ms. McGee, now, take off your coat. Now, let me see here. I think maybe a nice suit, full skirt with a fitted jacket and some peplum...
Billy Mills Orchestra and the King's Men salute the Academy Award-winning Zip-a-dee-doo-dah.
Without a song, jump right out of it. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah, zip-a-dee-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zip-a-dee-doo-dah, zip-a-dee-ay. Mr. Blue
it's actual.
Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Miss McGee, we'll just pin it up a little higher on the left shoulder and drape it a little more around the left hip. There you are. Now take a look into the mirror.
Why, that's beautiful, Henri. Simply beautiful.
Why, George.
And all with a handful of cloth and a mouthful of pins.
Well, that's going to make a mighty handsome suit, Henri.
Well, thanks, folks. Glad you like it. Eloise, take Miss McGee's measurements. Show her the best linings and buttons we got in the place. You just trot along at the fitting room with Eloise, Miss McGee.
All right, thank you. Lead on, Eloise.
Boy, you sure know your stuff, Hank, old man. Where'd you pick it up? You really from Paris?
Twice.
Huh?
Yes, sir. I was born in Paris, Illinois, and run me a ladies' tailor shop in Paris, France in 1919.
Oh.
Lost my discharge papers, so I had to grow me a beard and get an accent and hide behind a dress warm, see? Then I found I had a talent for it, and here I am.
Oh, what do you know?
I'm doing so good I could afford to throw away the accent. I was a kind of...
Hello, Henri. I was just...
Oh, hello, McGee.
Hi, Doc. What are you doing here?
Well, I always go through Henri's shop on my way to the hospital. It's a shortcut.
Huh?
Out the back of the post office, through Joe's Coke and Smoke, through Henri's place, around the filling station, and there I am.
Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Well, how is it, Henri?
Oh, just well, Doc. Have a chair and roll yourself a cigarette. Here's the makings.
I haven't got time, thanks.
Well, how's business with you, bag bitches? I understand you worked some miraculous cures at the hospital last month by taking a week off.
That is a lie, and you know it. Those people would have gotten well anyhow. So what are you doing in here?
I'm going to have Henri make Molly an outfit for Easter.
Hey, that's pretty expensive, isn't it?
The best is none too good for my wife, boy. Expense is no object. Hardly. No, sir. It's only money. That's what I always say.
Oh, brother, listen to little string saver. Rhinestone Jim Brady. You don't impress me, Pinchnickel. I happen to know you're so tight-fisted you didn't buy gloves all winter. You got out your golf clubs and used the mittens off your driver and your brassy.
Oh, now, Doctor.
Oh, let him talk, Hank. Let him rave. He ain't what you might call a swift man with a buck himself. The taxi drivers around town call him No Tip Gamble, the man with the even change.
I don't believe that, McGee.
Oh,
thanks, partner. Well, I look forward to seeing Molly in the Easter parade, Henri. Followed at five paces by our little Lucius Booby in that pinstripe awning he uses for a sport coat. I mean, the one with the belted back that ought to be belted right back to the sweatshop it came from.
Now, let's not get started on clothes again, fat boy. Incidentally, what do you do in a couple of weeks from now when Ringling Brothers start on the road and want their tents back?
Well, I just...
Well, I guess everything is all set, Henri. And thank you very much. Come on, McGee, let's... Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, my dear. Can I give you a lift as far as the front door?
Oh, no, thank you, Doctor. I just want...
Oh, excuse me, folks. Henri is speaking. Well, now, Ms. McDonald, that's kind of an embarrassing question for me to ask. Ain't ethical.
Mrs. McDonald, she's one of them women that was whispering about you when you come in, Molly.
Probably wants to know if Henri has any material that'll make her complexion look like Molly's.
Yeah?
She has an epidermis that looks like it has been sprayed for fruit flies.
Now you just hold the phone, Miss McDonald. Hey, Miss McGee. Miss McDonald wants to know who made that dress you got on. She'll give me $500 to make her one just like it. Now, don't tell me if you don't want her.
Tell him, kiddo.
Did I tell him? Yeah. Well, I made it myself, Henri.
Yeah.
When we needed slip covers for the Davenport, McGee ordered too much material, so I used what was left for a dress.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Hello, Ms. McDonald.
That model was an original Sophie. That's right, and it can't be duplicated. I'm sorry, Miss McDonald. Well, I'll have your outfit ready for Easter, Miss McDonald.
Thank you, Henry.
Hey, Doc. You want to get in the Easter parade with Molly and me? Molly can wear her new creation, and you and I will walk behind her carrying the Davenport, huh?
River and Molly return in a moment. A friend of mine, a businessman who doesn't have much to do with housekeeping, helped his wife wax some furniture the other day. He told me about it later. He said, "You know, it's amazing how much satisfaction I got out of putting Johnson's paste wax on that table and then buffing it to a beautiful shining luster." Well, I know just how he felt. It's a very satisfying experience. You start out with a dull, ordinary-looking table, and after a little buffing, you have a table glowing and gleaming with a rich, warm, mellow glow. And then, too, it's good to know that the furniture and floors you wax with genuine Johnson's wax will stay beautiful. That shining film of tough wax will protect them and make them easy to keep clean. A quick wipe with a dry cloth will remove all dust and dirt and spill things. And you will have added reasons to be proud of your home if you bring out all its beauty with genuine Johnson's paste wax.
Look on the bright side, shine up the right side, bring out the beauty of the home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you probably know that the song Zippity-Doo-Dah won an Oscar during the recent Motion Picture Academy Awards.
Yes, Ken Darby and our own King's Men featured it in Walt Disney's Song of the South. And we're very proud that tonight they sang the same arrangement that Ken made for the picture.
A good boy. Good night.
Good night, all.
The makers of Johnson's Wax Products, we're seeing Wisconsin, bring you Fiddle McGee and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you? Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. This is WMAQ NBC in Chicago.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another celebration of the spring season as Fibber is chosen to lead the Wistful Vista Parade. It's Fibber's turn to dress up. The U.S. had just joined World War II after Pearl Harbor 5 months before this show was broadcast, so a lot of the jokes and songs have a patriotic theme. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly. Spring Parade, first broadcast April 14th, 1942 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by the King's Men and music by Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Blow, Gabriel, Blow. Pan-American Day, set aside to mark the friendly relationship and active cooperation of the 21 nations of North and South America. We salute those allies and friends. More power to them. By the way, did you know that one of the chief ingredients of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Glow Coat comes from South America, from Brazil? Yes, one of the principal exports from Brazil to this country is Carnauba Wax, obtained from the Carnauba palm tree. In Johnson's products, this is skillfully blended with other ingredients to produce a polish that gives long-wearing protection and greater beauty to your floors, furniture, and linoleum. So every time you polish these with Johnson's Wax products, you not only protect them and save yourself work, but you also contribute to the mutually beneficial trade between this country and Brazil. By an odd coincidence, it's April in Wistful Vista, as it is in so many other places.
And this is the day of the spring festival and parade. There's a tradition that all parades must be led by a man on a white horse. And Mr. McGee is the only man in town who owns a white horse. Guess who's going to be Grand Marshal? And here at the costumers, waiting to get their parade outfits, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, so you've definitely decided on wearing a Western costume, McGee.
Absolutely. Looks swell, too. Me in a sombrero and chaps and in a silver-mounted Western saddle. I got a silver-mounted bridle for Lillian, too.
Well, that won't fool anybody, McGee.
Hmm?
Lillian is too fat to look like a cow pony. She's more cow than pony.
Oh. Don't worry. She'll look Western, all right. Why, she's even got a brand on her left hip.
Since when?
Since last night. I done it with indelible ink.
Well, what's your brand, partner?
C-bar-F.
C-bar-F, huh?
Yeah, in honor of Uncle Dennis. C-bar-F. Confirmed bar fly. And when I ride...
Excuse me, can I help you in any way?
Yes, you can use your influence, if any, and cancel this whole parade.
She's kidding, bud. We're leading the festival parade today, and we want to rent some costumes.
I see. Will you be riding on one of the floats?
I will. McGee will be floating on one of the rides.
He's still kidding. I'm riding my white horse, bud.
In that case, a suit of armor might be rather effective.
Say, it might at that. How would I be as a knight, Molly?
Well, I think the combination of a knight and a mare would be too appropriate, dearie. You better go Western.
Okay, you got any Western outfits, bud?
Oh, indeed we have, sir. Uh-huh. Now, let me see. You'll need chaps and boots, vest, checkered shirt, scarf, and a 10-gallon hat. What hat size, sir?
A 7.
Oh, I'm afraid we haven't got a size 7 in a 10-gallon hat.
Well, give him one 5-gallon hat and one 2-gallon hat. That's 7.
It's very amusing, madam.
Yes.
However, I can get one from our East Side branch, I think.
Swell. Send that Western outfit off to Fibber McGee, 79 Wistful Vista, will you, bud? Right away?
Yes, sir. And now what kind of a costume for the lady?
Oh, so you two lads have finally got around to me. Well, now, isn't that sweet?
How about a beautiful Juliet costume, madam? Gold spangles, gold slippers, little Juliet cap with sequins. Quite charming.
Oh, sounds good to me, Molly. I love dresses with sequences down the back.
No, I don't know, dearie. I don't think I'm quite the Juliet type. The only balcony scene I ever made was when I dropped my purse on a man's head at the Bijou Theater.
How about a little Bo Peep costume, madam? Cotton pinafore, a picture hat, ballet slippers, and a crook.
What was that, bud?
Nothing personal, dearie. A crook is one of those long button hooks that shepherds carry. Didn't you ever herd sheep?
Why, sure I've herd sheep. They go bang. What's that got to do with him calling me name?
Crook is merely the term for a sheepherder's staff, sir. You see, in herding sheep...
Never mind. I'll explain it to him later. Just send the Bo Peep costume out with his thing.
Yes, certainly, madam. I'll make up the costumes immediately, sir.
Well, I guess that's all, Molly. Boy, this is going to be fun. I can hardly wait till... Oh, look who's just come in. Uppington.
Is she in this parade, too?
I wouldn't be surprised. She's probably riding on a float for the Loyal Order of Moose.
Well, how could she? She doesn't belong to them.
Well, I ain't sure of her loyalty, but she's sure built on the Order of a Moose. In fact, that old moose... Oh, hi, Effie.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McGee? How do you do, my dear?
Hello, Abigail. Don't tell me you're riding in this parade, too.
Oh, indeed I am, my dear. The Women's Club has a float entered, and I am riding on it as Paul Revere.
Oh, Paul Revere. Well, looky here. Oh, boy.
Isn't that wonderful? I shall wear shoes with silver buckles, white stockings, ruffled breeches, and a three-cornered hat.
Oh, that's funny. When I was a kid, I wore just the opposite, a ruffled hat and three-cornered breeches.
Rascal, you. Oh, you do say the wittiest things. But tell me, what costumes are you wearing?
Well, McGee is wearing a cowboy's outfit, and I'm going as Little Bo Peep. We've got a selkie all decorated with paper flowers, and Lillian will pull the selkie with McGee on her back.
Oh, how utterly delightful. Yeah. I imagine Mr. McGee will look very dashing as a cow striker.
Puncher, Uppy. Cow puncher.
Oh.
And when I get into that outfit, I'll bet... Oh, my gosh.
What's the matter, dearie? Oh. Are you ill?
Oh, good heavens, how pale he is. Oh, sit down, Mr. McGee.
No. I'm all right, girls. I just thought...
Well, heavenly days, it can't be that bad. What is it?
Wait a minute.
Hey, Bud, come here a minute.
Yes, sir. Did you wish to speak to me, Mr. McGee?
Yeah, come here a minute. Look.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Indeed, they do.
Ah, boy. Is that a load off my mind?
Oh, but what was it, Mr. McGee? Really, I have never seen anyone look so perturbed.
What do you want to know, McGee?
Well, I was just checking up. Them cowboy chaps I'm going to wear, they're awful open in places.
Yeah.
I didn't know if cowboys wore pants under them or not. But they do. Well, come on, Molly. I'll see you later, Paul. Did you get the sulky all decorated?
Yes, I did, McGee. And if I never see another paper petunia, it'll be too soon. Did you curry Lillian?
Yes, I did. And she's as nervous as a cat. Ah, but I like a horse with spirit. I hope she acts kind of skittish in the parade.
Well, I don't.
Hmm?
Remember, I'll be right behind you in that oversized go-kart. And don't go showing off your horsemanship.
Don't worry. I know how to ride. Someday, you know what I'm going to do?
Certainly, but what's a little fall off a horse?
Someday I'm going to teach Lillian to kneel down when I mount and dismount. I knew a guy that taught his horse that once. Just touched him on the foreleg with his riding crop and the horse would kneel down. Ah, poor old Hank.
Why poor old Hank?
He was riding through a creek one day and a floating stick hit his horse on the knee. The horse knelt down and poor old Hank got drowned. I haven't seen him since. Hey, ain't it about time our costumes got here? It's almost... That must be them now. Come in.
Any of you cowhands order some western clothes?
Hey, now don't make so much noise, Mr. Oldtimer. You don't have to come bursting in here like Hopalong Casserole.
That's Cassidy, Molly.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Cassidy.
Don't mention it, daughter. Hey, I ain't Cassidy. He means Hopalong is Cassidy.
Oh.
You got my western outfit there, Oldtimer? Oh, yeah. Thanks very much.
Don't mention it, Johnny. What you gonna do with it? Run away from home and join the Texas Rangers?
Nope, I'm going to be Grand Marshal this afternoon, Oldtimer. Going to put a saddle on Lillian and ride her in the parade.
Well, I'm glad that's all there is to it, kids. I was afraid Johnny was really going out west. Pretty dangerous life out there.
What's dangerous about it?
Well, my papa's out there near Dallas, and he's been laid up now for 3 weeks with blisters all over the palms of his hands.
Well, what on earth happened to him?
Works on a dude ranch out there, daughter.
Yeah.
And in the evening by the campfire, he had to sing Deep in the Heart of Texas so often he clapped his hands into a pulp.
If he was such a success, they should have held him over the campfire.
Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, you saving enough out of your living expenses to buy United States war saving stamps? Nope, says t'other feller. Nope, says the first feller. Nope, says t'other feller. I'm just saving enough out of my war savings stamp money for living expenses. Well, I'll be looking for in the parade, kid. I'll be on the roof of the First National Bank building.
Oh, say, now, wait a minute. They tore that building down last week, Mr. Oldtimer.
What? They did? Much obliged, daughter. By cracky, you saved me a nasty fall.
Well, here's the costumes, Molly. We better be getting dressed.
All right, and I hope I won't feel too silly in a little Bo Peep costume.
Oh, you look cute. Personally, I'm going to get a great kick out of masquerading as a four-bit cowhand.
A four-bit cowhand?
Yeah, that's a half a buckaroo.
Oh.
Now, let me see. First, the boots. Hey, look. They sent me women's boots. These have got high heels.
Go on. All cowboys wear high-heeled boots, foolish.
They do? I wonder if they paint their toenails, too. Maybe if I slip them over on
Hello, folks. Say, is it true that you're leading the parade this afternoon?
That's right, Mr. Wilcox. McGee is going to ride Lillian, and I'll ride in the sulky behind them.
I'm wearing a cowboy outfit, Harlow. I'll wave my lorgnette at you as I ride by.
Your what?
My lorgnette. You know, the rope that us cowboys use to lasso cows.
That's a lariat, McGee.
Huh?
A lorgnette is a pair of glasses on a stick that society ladies look through when they don't want to recognize somebody they know.
Well, besides, Fibber, you won't wave at me. I'm in the parade, too.
You are? You playing in the drum and bugle corps?
No, the Johnson's Wax people have entered a float in the parade.
Really, Mr. Wilcox? What kind of a float is it?
It's allegorical.
Hey, that's a marvelous idea, Harlow. Where'd you get the alligators?
Say, McGee, you're awfully dense today. Yeah? Allegorical means symbolic.
Yes, our float symbolizes modern housekeeping. Shall I describe it?
Can we stop you?
No.
That's what I thought. Go ahead.
Well, the whole float is a giant replica of a container of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. On one side, a banner says no rubbing, and on the other side, no buffing.
Isn't that wonderful?
Say, wouldn't it be cute to have a little boot black with a bath towel in one hand and a shoe in the other?
Meaning what?
It shines as it dries?
No.
Okay.
Then we have a beautiful girl dressed as a chic little housewife. Dressed to go out to the movies or shopping or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We got a professional model for that.
Yeah, but who'd you get to take the part of the chic?
McGee. What makes you so dumb? He meant chick. That's French for ducky.
Certainly. Then in the back, there's a huge alarm clock with the minute hand pointing to 20, meaning the glow coat dries to a mirror-like polish in 20 minutes or less. Of course, the whole floor of the float is covered with a beautiful, gleaming linoleum.
Whoa.
No kidding, it's going to be a very effective float.
But what are you going to do, Harlow?
I'm going to drive it.
You mean you're going to drive it and play the cymbals at the same time?
Who said anything about playing the cymbals?
You said it was symbolic, didn't you?
Oh, for Pete's sake. It's no wonder they asked you to lead the parade. You can't even follow an idea.
What's he getting so fine-haired about?
Well, now, he thought you were making fun of him, you know. Don't forget, he takes his work very seriously.
I know that. Any guy that has his bedroom ceiling covered with linoleum so it's the last thing he sees at night and the first thing in the morning has got my deep... Hey, didn't that costume company send me a sombrero? Of
course they did. It's over there by the wastebasket.
Which one is the wastebasket?
The one with all the tissue paper in it is the hat.
Oh, yeah. How's it look on me, Molly?
Well, frankly, dearie, you look like a grasshopper under a mushroom. No wonder cowboys always sing such lonesome songs.
What do you mean?
Well, with a hat like that, nobody can get near them.
Oh, you just ain't used to it. The reason that... Come in.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, hi, Latrivia. What goes?
I beg your pardon?
What's pretty in the city? What fries with the guys? What do you know that ain't so?
Don't be so slangy, McGee. What he means, Mr. Mayor, is what's cooking.
Oh. Yeah, I see, I see. I'm afraid I'm not quite up on the modern idiom.
Who's a modern idiom? Now you look here.
Now, just a minute. Just a minute, please. I just wanted to be sure you were familiar with the route of the parade.
Well, I think we are, but maybe you better run over it again to make sure, Mr. Mayor, if you have time.
I'll take time. Though I have been so busy making my belt buckle speech at different places, I haven't been able to devote much thought to this parade.
What you mean, belt buckle speech, Latrivia?
About our war effort, McGee. I talk to people in offices and factories and schools. I tell them that if we expect our boys to belt those Japs over there, we have to buckle down and work over here.
Good.
The whole purpose of my talks, of course, is to make people realize that this war won't be won simply by giving up two golf balls, a new inner tube, and a teaspoonful of sugar. This thing involves everything we have and everything we are. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And by George, if a nation of freedom-loving mechanical geniuses can't smack the kimonos off a gang of little thieves who couldn't invent a dollar watch on their own, we're not the people I think we are, and I think we are. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to make a speech here. Now, about the route of this parade, we start at 14th and Oak Street.
And go east?
No, we go west, young man. We go west to Maple, then 10 blocks south to McKinley.
I thought we went south to Adams.
No, McKinley. Then east to Washington, north to Monroe.
Don't you mean Madison?
No, Monroe.
How can we go north to Monroe? It's an east and west street.
My goodness, is it? Yes, it is. I don't know what... Oh, but I merely said we go north to Monroe, not on it.
Oh, then we don't go on Monroe.
No. Yes, you do, too. North on Washington to Monroe. And then
Well, I still don't know how we can go north on an east and west street.
Well, for that matter, if we go west on Adams, which is a north and south street, we'll wind up on an east and west street, which will be Washington going east. And it's a one-way street going west. How do you explain that, Latrivia?
I didn't say we went west on Adams. I said Washington was... I mean, if the parade goes north to Monroe... We can... Now, wait a minute. If we go east on Madison...
You mean south.
South on Madison. No, east on Madison. Then west to...
Quincy.
West to Quincy. Oh, wait a minute. No. Who said anything about Quincy?
Molly did just now.
Well, we don't go to Quincy. Quincy is way down on the south side.
Well, how on earth did we get clear down there? If we go south on Monroe...
We don't go south on Monroe. We go west on Monroe. I mean east. No, I mean south. I mean, if we take Washington to Adams, we... Take it anywhere you want to. And don't bring it back!
The King's Men singing Keeping Our Big Mouth Shut.
This is no time for idle chatter, 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 chatter. This is no time to go and blab, blah, blah, blah. This is not the time to whisper. This is the time to stow the gap. He's a nice, friendly chap, but he might tell a Jap with a radio set in his hut. So watch out what you say, we can help out this way, keeping our big mouth shut. Don't forget pretty eyes could be winking at spies while you're dancing and singing hot sut. Don't go dishing the dirt, just be on the alert. Keeping our big mouth shut.
Keep it shut, keep it shut, keep it shut.
We got a brand new slogan, so keep it on your mind. For the slip of a lip might sink a big battleship with sailor boys of yours and mine. So don't be gossipy Joe, bragging about what you know. Keep old Adolf clear off of his nut. We can help Uncle Sam and stay out of a jam. Keeping our big mouth shut. Shh. Don't you whisper and tell. Don't you tattle and yell. Don't go out on the corner and strut. We won't have any jinx if we be like the Sphinx. Keeping our big mouth shut.
Keep it shut, keep it shut, keep it shut.
You say you'd like chin music. Then buy a piccolo chum and begin. But when you meet with a chap who wants to shoot off his trap, button up his lip and grin. Don't be gossipy Joe, bragging about what you know. Keep old Adolf clear off of his nut. We can help Uncle Sam and stay out of a jam. Keeping our great big mouth
Well, how do I look in my costume, Molly? Like an old cowhand from the Rio Grande?
No, you look more like a jockey from old Milwaukee. Why the rubber boots? Is that a Western effect?
Oh, them cowboy boots hurt my feet. Besides, they got those high heels, and I kept falling over on my face.
Oh, that's bad.
Say, you look swell in that little Bo Peep dress, Molly.
You really think so?
Yeah, honest. Very becoming. One of the cutest little...
Oh, dear. Yeah. Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
Can't talk to you very long, I'm afraid, Wimp, old man. We're leading the big parade this afternoon, you know.
Yes, I know, Mr. McGee. I asked Sweetie Face if I could go downtown and watch the parade, and she said yes if I got my work done in time.
What work, Mr. Wimple?
Oh, she has me washing the windows today, Mrs. McGee.
Well, that shouldn't ought to take very long, Wimp.
It does when I do it her way, with a piece of wet cotton on a toothpick.
Heavenly days, what on earth is the idea of that?
Punishment, Mrs. McGee. Just punishment. I was naughty this morning.
Were you really, Wimp? What'd you do, sneak out and inhale a cubeb?
No, Mr. McGee. At breakfast this morning, she told me to eat all the crust off my toast or I wouldn't have curly hair. And when she turned her back, I made a face at her.
Well, that was safe enough, wasn't it?
That's when I saw it, Mrs. McGee. But she saw my face in the coffee pot.
And then what?
And then I saw the coffee pot in my face.
You poor lad. Was the coffee hot?
That's what Sweetie Face asked me afterwards. And I said I didn't think it was so hot this morning, and that started it all over again.
Well, it's too bad you won't be able to see the parade, Wimp. It's going to be pretty impressive.
Oh, I'm sure it will be, Mr. McGee. But maybe I can see it sometime in the newsreels.
Well, I hope so. At least your wife lets you go to the movies now and then, doesn't she?
Yes, on very rare occasions. I haven't been for quite a while now, though.
You haven't?
No. My, wasn't Ben Hur wonderful the way he drove that car? But I mustn't keep you any longer. You only have a half an hour before the parade starts.
Yes, I'm sorry we have more time to talk, Mr. Wimple. Drop in again soon some evening, won't you?
Thank you, Mrs. McGee. I'll try to. Though I'm usually pretty well tied up evening.
Doing what?
Oh, just lying there, tied up.
Ah, that poor little fella. You know, someday he's going to revolt, and I hate to think what'll happen then.
So do I. She'll kill him. He's one of the most henpecked of the... Hey, look what time it is. We got to get going.
Oh, heavenly days, I'll say we have. Run out and hitch Lillian up to the sulky, McGee.
Oh, okay. No, you run out and hitch her up, Molly. I got to fix this scarf around my neck.
What's the matter with it? It looks very Western to me.
It's too loose. It tickles my neck. I'd be a fine parade marshal riding along giggling and snickering.
Well, all right, but hurry up now. And if I need any help with the harness, I'll call you, dear.
Okay. I better practice walking bow-legged, too, while I'm at it. Say, I'll bet cowboys play a wonderful game of leapfrog. Maybe I could promote a team. No, now for the... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello, sis. Now, look, I haven't got time to talk now. I'm marshal of the parade, and I got to get going in just a minute.
Hmm?
I says I'm marshal of the parade, and I got to get going.
How far do you have to march, mister? How far do you?
I don't have to march. I ride my horse.
Oh. Well, if you don't have to march, why do they call you Marshmallow?
That's a silly question, sis. Just because they call a fish perch, that don't mean he has a canary sitting on his back.
Why?
Why what?
Hmm?
Huh?
I bet they don't either.
You bet they don't what?
Hmm?
I says what they... Now, look, sis, will you do something for me?
Is there any compensation in it, mister?
Hmm? What do you mean, compensation?
Dough.
Why, you little... Yes. Yes, there is. I'll give you a dime.
All righty. What do you want me to do?
Take a pair of shoes downtown for me.
Okay, where are they?
You got them on. Goodbye, sis. It's a dirty trick, but justified under the circumstances. Now, let me see. Here's my sombrero. Oh, yeah. My gun. My cartridge belt. Guess that's everything. Hey, is that you, Molly?
Yes, dearie, it's me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all ready to go.
Fine.
You better call the taxi.
Taxi? What taxi?
The one we're riding in the parade.
Hey, what's the matter with you, Molly? We're riding Lillian.
Oh, no, we're not.
What? Why not?
Lower your voice, dearie.
Huh?
Lillian has just become a mother.
Fibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. Thousands of women all over the country have already signed the Consumer's Pledge, sponsored by the government's Consumer Division. If you haven't seen one, this is how the pledge reads. I will buy carefully. I will take good care of the things I have. I will waste nothing. The makers of Johnson's Wax are very proud that their products can play a part in helping you keep this very worthy pledge. An easy way to take good care of the things you have is to protect your floors, furniture, and woodwork with regular applications of Johnson's Wax. In fact, there are over 100 protective uses for this famous wax polish in your home. Wax your windowsills, your Venetian blinds, shoes, luggage, refrigerator, metal furniture, and all chrome surfaces. You'll find Johnson's paste or liquid wax equally good for all these purposes. Paste or liquid, it's the same fine product, and in either form, it's very easy to use.
McGee, did you go out and see Lillian's new baby?
Yeah, cute little cuss, ain't he?
Yeah.
Did Uncle Dennis see it?
No, but I ran up and told him.
Oh, what'd he say?
He said, what color is it?
And what'd you say?
I said, black and white.
And what'd he say?
Make mine the same.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.